This morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We'll be reading the 21 verses of this chapter. Psalm 145, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 50 and 51 in the back section. As this morning we read from Lord's Day 36 and 37, I will read the questions and you may respond with the answers. From page 50 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 36, question 99. What is God's will for us in the third commandment?
That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God, but perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share such horrible sins, by any silent bystanders. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence to God, so that we may properly confess him, praise him, and praise him in everything we do and say.
Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and to forbid it? But may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? May we swear by saints or other creatures?
No. A legitimate oath means calling on God,
The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We continue this morning our study of the Word of God, focusing on the Ten Commandments, those instructions God gave to his people for how they were to walk before him. And as we have seen, that the commandments all are related to our understanding of who God is. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. There are no others. God is the only one. God is the only one who is worthy of our worship. God is the only one who is worthy of our praise. God is the only one to whom we give our heart and soul and mind and strength in devotion. The commandment relates to who God is. Commandment two, make no images of God. We talked last time about His glory and His majesty. He is the God who is perfectly just and right and good. He is all-present, all-powerful. He is infinite. How could we begin to make an image of Him? How do we begin to image the God who is from eternity, who was from before the beginning and on past the end? What image could we make of such a great God? The commandment relates to who God is. And now we come to the third commandment. The commandment dealing with the use of the name of God. And once again, we see the connection between the law and between our understanding of who God is. God's name is not just something that we call Him, but God's name is part of God's meaningful self-revelation of who He is. God's name tells us something about God, tells us what He is, what He does, and therefore we have to reverence that name, because in doing so, we reverence the God of that name. We see in our confession that the explanation of the third commandment includes those things that we should not do, as well as those things that we should do. It includes prohibition as well as prescription. And we'll see that throughout the understanding of the law, that it tells us what we should avoid, but also how we should properly use the law in ways of gratitude to God. We must be careful with the name of God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. As I said, the name of God reveals something about God. It was that way in the Scriptures in the Old Testament as well. Names revealed something of the character of what was being named. We give names sometimes rather casually. Let's just call a child this. But names were particular in the Old Testament. We think all the way back at the beginning in creation. God created Adam, and he was taken out of the ground. Now, in English, we probably don't see the connection. But in the original, it talks about God named him Adam, because he came from Adamah. He was man because he came from ground. There was a connection between the naming and what it meant. He was dust. He was earth. He was frail. He was fragile. He was from Adamah. So we call him Adam. We see that in God making a woman and naming her. And here the parallel does come over to English a little bit. As we see the word man and the word woman, we see a connection between the two. She was called Isha, woman, for she came from Ish, man. There was a connection. The naming was not haphazard, but the naming said something about who this was. We think later in Israel's history of when Isaac was born, and the story surrounding the birth of Isaac, how God came and told Abraham that although he was old, he would have this son. And Sarah laughed about that. And then when Isaac was born, they all laughed. And what did they call their son? They called him Isaac. They called him Laughter. The name was connected to who he was. Same is true in place names in the Old Testament. When Abraham took his son Isaac up to the mountains of Moriah to offer him there as a sacrifice to God, and then instead of offering Isaac as the sacrifice, God provided a ram that was caught in the thicket to be sacrificed instead, they named that place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. That was not an accident. Rather than the mountains of Moriah, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide because on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And the name said something about the nature of the place. The names of Bethel, the house of God. The names of Peniel, the face of God. All of these names had significance. Sometimes names were changed in the Old Testament because of the significance going on. We think of Abram. Abram, that means mighty father. And yet God promised, you will be the father of many nations. And his name was changed to Abraham, the father of many. The name revealed something of what was going on. Jacob, his name changed to Israel. Jacob, when he was born, children, Jacob means a heel grabber. When Jacob was born, his twin brother came out and Jacob grabbed the heel as that brother came out. And that name came to be kind of a euphemism for a deceiver. We would say, you're pulling my leg. You're trying to put something over on me. Jacob was heel grabber, deceiver. But then later he wrestled with God and he is called Israel, one who struggles with God. Throughout the Old Testament, names are significant. God's name is significant. God's name reveals something of his character. When God chooses to name himself with the various names that he gives throughout Scripture, it is revelatory. It tells us something about him. When God would go and the Israelites would say, who is this God, Moses? Who is this God who's coming to us through you? God said, tell them, I am. I am is speaking to you. It reveals something of God's eternality. We talked about that last week. I am who I am. That ongoing nature of God. And so that was why when Jesus came, and John records for us that Jesus used a number of statements about himself. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. And the Jews would hear not just the descriptor, but they would hear the I am. Oh, he's connecting himself with God. He's claiming to be God. He says, I am, just like God in the Old Testament. The names were revelatory. They meant something. When Moses wanted God to reveal something of himself to him, back in Exodus chapter 33, God describes himself. God gives that revelation to Moses. In Exodus 33, Moses said, please show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And that's exactly what God does. In Exodus 44, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a merciful God, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God proclaims his name. Gracious, merciful, compassionate, slow to anger. The psalmist picks those exact words up in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all he has made. It reveals something about God. His character, his love, his mercy, and his grace. We see that revelation continued when he sent his son Jesus Christ, who would be merciful, gracious, and compassionate to fallen sinners like us. He would come and he would offer up his own life for our sins, for our shortcomings. He would redeem us from death. God is merciful, gracious, compassionate, abounding in steadfast love. So much love, he would send his own son to die for our sins. God's name reveals something about himself. A few years ago, I guess it's several years ago now, there was a popular song called El Shaddai, God Almighty. That name God gave to himself, El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Elyon, God Most High, God All-Powerful, God All-Knowing. These names reveal the character of God. To reverence God's name is to reverence God himself. God is a faithful God. The psalmist picks up that, verse 13. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling. He raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You. You give them their food in the due season. You open Your hand and You satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is faithful to provide for His people. God is a covenant-keeping God. He said that He would continue to have seed time and harvest and rain and sun. And God did exactly that. It speaks of His faithfulness. It speaks of His constancy. God reveals Himself in the names that He gives to Himself. The Lord is righteous, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. God is faithful and righteous to do what He has promised, to care for His people, to care for all who call on Him in truth. But the wicked He will destroy. God is faithful to His word. He is righteous in all His doings. God's name, God's attributes reveal something about who this God is. That's why He says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. God's name is His meaningful self-revelation. We may not misuse that glorious name. And there are several ways in which we might misuse the name of God. First of all, there would be the thoughtless use of God's name. And we hear a lot of this today, the thoughtless use of God's name. We use the name of God, we use the name of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to simply spice up our language, to make things sound more urgent than they are. And we have a thoughtless use of God's name. I used to work with a number of people that were that would often take God's name in vain. And I talked with them, with one of them in particular. I said, "Do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize you're taking the name of God in vain?" He said, "What are you talking about? It's just a word. It's just a phrase. It's just something I say." He had no concept of the seriousness of taking God's name on his lips. It was a thoughtless use of the name of God. That thoughtless use trivializes God. It brings him down to our level. It makes him like everything else around us, simple and common. We must not thoughtlessly use God's name. Perhaps if we just stop using God's name altogether, that would be proper. But non-use is not the proper use of God's name either. And our confession picks that up. But may we not swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, there are times when we do take God's name on our lips in an oath. When we go to court, other times of necessity. It does not violate God's law to take His name on our lips in a proper, necessary oath. But when we do that, then we honor the name by certainly speaking the truth. When we promise on the name of God that we will declare the truth, then we must declare the truth. And to do anything else is to dishonor the name of God. Non-use of God's name is not the answer. Simply avoiding all use of God's name. There are other ways we avoid the use of God's name, non-use. When we refuse to name God, when we act as if God doesn't exist. If we don't name Him, if we don't think about Him, if we don't acknowledge Him, we act as if God is a non-entity. And that non-use of His name violates the law of the third commandment. To act as if God is uninvolved in the matters of this life, as if God doesn't care about what's going on in this world, as if God has no control over the world. When we simply, by not using His name, try to erase God from our public conscience, that is a violation of the law. Verse 15 says, "The eyes of all look to You. You give them their food in due season." We're supposed to recognize God. And it's October. Next month is November. We'll come together for Thanksgiving, where we come together to give thanks to God. The unbeliever has no reason to celebrate Thanksgiving. He ignores God throughout his life. He ignores God when the sun is shining, when the crops are coming in. He ignores it. He's got no reason to come for Thanksgiving. By that non-use, by that eradicating of God, he violates the law of God. It's not simply by non-use that we avoid taking God's name in vain, and it is certainly not by a wrong use. And that's where our confession picks up, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God. Deliberately taking his name on our lips in a curse. A well thought out, well considered words from our mouth that call God's name down in curse upon those around us. Blasphemy. Misuse of the name. Taking it in vain. Making what is holy, what is glorious, what is the nature of God himself, and making it common as we take it upon our lips in a curse. What is God's will for us in the third commandment? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths. The wrong use of God's name is to blaspheme that holy name. Or the confession reminds us, to share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Perhaps we don't improperly take God's name on our lips. Perhaps we don't, through thoughtless use or deliberate use, take that name in vain. But how do we respond to those around us who do? We may not share in that horrible sin by being a silent bystander. And a whole question is dedicated to that question. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is also angry with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and to forbid it? Yes, indeed, no sin is greater. We may not quietly sit back while the name of God is being taken in vain. We may not quietly sit back while his name is being brought down from heaven to the earth and used casually or in a curse around us. We are called to speak up for the name of God. That is what we do as we want to keep his name holy, as we want to not take that name in vain or let others take that name in vain. Children, if you were talking with your friends and they started talking badly about your mom or about your dad, and they started saying bad things about them and they started using their name in a very ugly way, you wouldn't like that. You would say, "That's my mom. That's my dad. Don't talk about them that way." Do we speak up when the name of our Father in heaven is taken in vain? That's our Father. That's the one who sent his Son to save us. That's the one who provides for all of our needs. Please don't talk about my Father that way. And we need to gently and lovingly, but forthrightly, tell people what they're saying. And it may be that is the occasion to engage them in a discussion about the gospel. Perhaps they don't know the God they're taking on their lips. And you now have the opportunity to share the truth of who that God is. The glorious God, the creator of the heavens and earth, the glorious God who is the redeemer of his people. We may not share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. That is a misuse of the name of God. How then do we use God's name? Our confession says, in a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe. The psalmist says, "I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." We are to use God's name, not simply ignore it, not misuse it. We are to use God's name with reverence and with awe. And we do that in one way when we come together for worship. We are gathered here today in the name of God. We are gathered here today to praise His name. How many times in the Psalms doesn't it say, praise the name of the Lord? That's where this psalm begins. Bless His name forever and ever. Praise His name forever and ever. In our worship, we are called to properly use the name of God. And that means we will come here prepared to worship. We will come here anticipating worship. We will come here engaged in the worship, with a desire to truly bring praise and honor and glory to the God who needs to be reverenced today. As we gather for worship, we don't gather casually, but we come prepared and ready and willing to worship our God. When we sing our songs of praise together, we must be engaged in the songs. The songs that extol God for who He is, when we sing those simply by reading the words without thinking about them, we're not taking proper reverence and awe with regard to God's name. God calls us to invest ourselves in His worship. When we engage together in prayer, we are praying in Jesus' name. Now I know that praying together in church is a difficult thing. It is work to enter into the prayer as the minister prays. But it's the work God calls us to do on the Lord's Day, to be engaged in prayer with His people. And so we come and we prepare to enter into that prayer and to join our minds with that prayer to bring praise and honor to God as we pray in Jesus' name. When we confess our sins, we acknowledge God's righteousness and His justice to condemn us. And yet we remind ourselves also that He is faithful to all His words and kind in all His works, and we believe Him when He says, "I forgive your sins." We believe the words that the name gives to us. God calls us to be engaged as we come together for worship, to prepare. That means, of course, getting enough sleep the night before that we're not dragging out of bed on a Sunday morning. To come prepared to extol my God and King, to bless His name forever and ever, to worship Him and to praise His name forever and ever. God's name is used properly when declared with reverence and awe in our worship. God's name is used properly when it is used as a witness to the world. Verse 6. They will speak of the might of your awesome deeds and will declare your greatness, the obligation to speak about God. Verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The obligation to tell others, to speak of the greatness of our God to those around us. And we do that and we honor God's name when we open our mouths and declare truthfully who He is. He is the God who is the Creator. He is the God who is the Redeemer. He's a covenant-keeping God. And we honor God's name. And we honor God by opening our mouths in witness to those around us. God, through Christ, has placed His name on you. You are called Christian. You are called Christian. God has placed His name on you because Jesus Christ has come and redeemed you. Jesus Christ comes and He works in our hearts and He changes our hearts and He changes our direction from walking away from God to walking toward God. And that heart change must express itself in the things that we do. Express itself in the words that we say. Express itself as we interact with those around us, in our homes, at our jobs, in our schools. God works in us that we might declare the glories of His name to those around us. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God with reverence and awe, that we properly confess Him and pray to Him and praise Him in everything that we do and say. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We recognize God's name as that which is holy because God is holy. We don't take that name thoughtlessly. We don't avoid the name altogether. We certainly don't take it on our lips in a curse. And God calls us by the power of His Spirit to do all we can to ensure the reverence of His name. By speaking up when it's misused, and by ourselves gathering for worship with reverence and awe. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. My mouth will speak of the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. May God give us grace to reverence the name of the Lord our God. Let's join together in prayer.